The 18 Strong Podcast, episode number 115 with Allie Gilbert of Golfers Who Lift and Greenwich DX Sports Labs.
But the most important for release of testosterone would be the strain, which, not the show, but it comes from those really heavy compound lifts, deadlifts, squats, presses, the grinding heavy reps that you really have to strain through that tend to be slower, yield a huge testosterone release.
Welcome to the 18 Strong Podcast, where you get direct access to the world's greatest experts on training harder, practicing smarter, and playing better golf. Now, here's your host, Jeff Pelizzero.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the 18 Strong Podcast. I thank you for joining me again this week, where we have a very good friend of mine on the show, Allie Gilbert, who was one of the first interviews on the 18 Strong Podcast a long time ago. And over the past couple of years, Allie and I have gotten to know each other very well, and I just had the chance to see her present and speak at the World Golf Fitness Summit on the topic of what we're talking about today, testosterone and hormones, and how you can naturally increase your testosterone levels, or what you should be doing on a daily basis with your training methods, with your diet, your nutrition, your lifestyle, just in general, and what are some of those things in order to boost that. But also, what are the big effects? You know, as Allie put it in her presentation, testosterone is what makes a man a man. But our society these days is very estrogenic. And so Allie's going to go into what that means and what are the repercussions of society and the things that we've been doing to ourselves over the past several years. And what does it do when your testosterone levels are low and estrogen levels are high? What does that actually physically change in your body from not just your looks or your muscle tone or your weight gain, but also, you know, your mental capacity and states and depression and things like that? So there's so many different topics that we're going to be touching on here, and Allie's going to go into some different hacks. And we even talk about some of the hacks that you can use in your life. You know, just a couple weeks ago, we had Dr. Stephen Murphy on, who is Allie's partner at Greenwich Diagnostic Sports Labs. And we talked about, you know, the blood testing portion of it. We talked about my personal results and me having low testosterone levels and the changes that he wanted me to make on a dietary basis. So we go into all of those things. So I just want to say thank you to Allie, first of all, for her time, but also everybody at Greenwich Diagnostic Sports Labs, Michael Monavian, Dr. Murphy, Allie. Everybody has been so great to us here at 18 Strong with the blood testing and coming on the show, that we just want to mention our appreciation. And also, if you have any interest in getting your blood tested and seeing some of this stuff and how these panels work for you, there's some contact information on the show notes page. If you go to 18strong.com and you just look at episode number 115, that's this episode, or the one with Dr. Murphy, which was 112, you can find the way to get in touch with the folks at Greenwich Diagnostic Sports Labs. And they put together a special package for the 18 Strong listeners. If you were to want to get some of your blood tested and have some of these panels done, so you can contact them. You can actually just go directly to their website too, and in the contact section, mention that you heard about them on 18 Strong, and they will definitely take care of you. So I wanted to mention that. Also, just a quick little side note that I wanted to mention. I'm in Chicago right now recording this episode, but I'm here for the FRC, Functional Range Conditioning Seminar. So I'm going through the course with Dr. Andrea Ospina, who we had on the show, episode number 106, and in episode number 113, we talked with Pam Owens about a lot of the functional range conditioning stuff. So I'm actually going through the course, so be sure to be on the lookout for some content coming from us here at 18 Strong regarding a lot of the different principles around the mobility stuff that Dr. Spina teaches. I have to say, after the first day, it's been incredible, and I'm totally looking forward to tomorrow and all the content that he has available. Also, I came in town just a little bit early yesterday to meet up with the guys at Super Speed Golf at the Royal Melbourne Country Club, and we shot some video there to, you know, go through some different protocols. Actually, we're going to unveil a completely new protocol that they are about to spread to the public. And so we kind of shot some video together in order to show that new protocol basically to the world. So be on the lookout for some new content coming from them. If you're on our email list at 18 Strong, you'll definitely get the email with the new protocol for the guys from Super Speed, but also we'll be putting it on our YouTube channel and everything. So just want to let you guys know about what's to come. Okay, let's get into the episode with Allie, which is a very fun one, very entertaining, as every conversation with Allie always is, but especially about the topic of testosterone, you know, a male hormone, yet Allie is the female expert in the golf world, in the fitness world. So we have a little fun with this conversation, so let's bring her in. Allie Gilbert, welcome back to the 18 Strong Podcast.
I am so excited to be back, especially for this topic.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. So we recently at the World Golf Fitness Summit, obviously you presented, and the topic of your presentation was maximizing male hormone output through lifting, diet, and biochemistry, which sounds very clinical, you know, sounds pretty standard. But I have to say, your talk, your chat was one of the most talked about and shared on social media afterwards, for some of the topics that you talked about, some of the great slides and jokes that you had in there. And we're going to touch on a little bit of all of it. You know, it's basically talking a lot about testosterone and male hormones and everything. So first of all, just awesome job there. I mean, honestly, I have to say that it was one of the best presentations I saw all weekend.
Oh, thank you. I had a lot of fun doing it. And I think because it's a topic that doesn't get talked about a lot is why everybody was talking about it, because it's somewhat taboo.
Yeah, for sure. And so, full disclosure, we'll try to keep this as PG-13 as possible.
Keyword try.
You know, especially since when I walked in maybe a minute or two late, and the slide on the presentation was just a big picture of a tree with coffee. And the hashtag, or the title under it, was Morning Wood. And I was like, oh boy, I'm going to sit down and I'm taking notes right now.
And then that of course, was the most tweeted slide too.
Yeah, actually the first thing I did was I took a picture of it, tweeted it out, and then sat down and started taking some notes. So let's talk about just kind of the basic premise of your whole presentation, which was, you know, male hormones. Why, first of all, let's go as rudimentary as we can. And let's talk about hormones a little bit. Why are they so important?
Well, they're basically the chemical messengers in our body. So whenever our body is affected by a certain stimulus, whether it be stress or working out or eating something, they are basically what are responsible for the messages to our organs of something to happen. So they're the reactionary messengers to whatever's put into our body, and that kind of controls how our body functions everywhere, through metabolism to reactions to producing other hormones as well.
And based on, you know, some of our genetics, some of our lifestyle, some of our training, some of our diet, all of these things kind of tie in and affect what goes on hormonally. And so we're going to talk about a lot of these different things. And you and I, before getting on the call, actually the last couple of days, we posted out a couple times on Facebook and social media, hey, what questions you have. So rather than having, you know, a formal outline of what we're going to talk about, we just went out and got a bunch of different questions, and we're going to kind of hit those as we go through our conversation. But specifically, let's talk about, you know, what most of us came to listen about is testosterone. So obviously, mm-hmm. the male hormone that we tend to hear about and talk about, and low testosterone is a big deal these days. First of all, let's kind of go over what are some of the common symptoms of a male who's experiencing low testosterone.
Well, as we stated, the morning wood slide, morning erections are actually the biggest indicator of hormonal health in a man. And losing that or not completing that is usually a huge indicator. Some other of the symptoms are fatigue, inability to maintain or put on muscle mass, you know, similar symptoms to feeling stressed out, gaining weight. You know, one of my slides had like increased wimpy factor, I guess, mm-hmm. would be because the estrogen could be overruling it. But usually the biggest symptoms are just overall fatigue, becoming lackadaisical in the gym, and losing the morning wood. And lack of sex drive, obviously.
Right. So let's take a kind of an example of a guy that comes in to see you, whether for training or whatever. What does it look like when you first kind of meet this person and you start talking about these things? What are some of the questions you ask? What are then some of the steps that you would take with that person moving forward?
So it depends also where I am. If it's a training client, it's different than with a lab client. Did you want me to go through both?
Let's go. let's go with the lab client.
Okay.
Because I know that's probably more the direction that we'll go here. We'll touch on some of the training aspects too, but let's go with the lab client.
The similarity would be usually it's somebody that I'm training who I advise to get blood work. And, you know, it comes back to our philosophy at the sports lab is the triangle of performance, where you have a stimulus from training, then you have nutrition. So that's a huge part of training. And then you have hormones. And usually when somebody is training a certain way and then they're eating a certain way and they still can't yield the results that they want, something biochemically may be off. And we're great at assessing externally. And Dr. Murphy mentioned this on his talk, how, you know, we have screening processes as fitness professionals, but what are we doing internally? We don't know what's going on internally. And these days, men have far more issues hormonally than they did 20 to 30 years ago. So when a guy tells me, you know, I have some body fat that I'm dealing with, or I may have the man boobs, you know, I listen very carefully to what his lifestyle is like, to what he's eating. We always ask for a food log at the lab. And once they get their blood draw, then we kind of find out, all right, what are they suffering the most from? What's their goal? And what are they looking to do? Because a lot of the times they're just stressed out. And that's how our environment is. And in my, I'm going to kind of go off on a tangent, but in my presentation, how I started out, how saying, you know, we used to actually have to do things, whereas like rolling down our window in our car was actually a physical thing we had to do. We had to actually get up and turn the TV channel. We had to physically stalk people and, you know, hide in the bushes outside their house. Mm. And now we can just sit, you know, in social media. We can do everything by pressing a button. So that obviously affects us biochemically if we don't really have to do anything. We don't even have to walk if we don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, so it sounds kind of silly, you know, because we always talk about, oh, you know, do the simple things, park away from the, you know, work and walk through the parking lot or walk up your flight of stairs. But that stuff really, I mean, it really makes a difference because we don't do all those little things. We're constantly behind the keyboard.
Yeah, big time. You know, I find I do that with food shopping. I'll park as far away as possible. I'll actually return the cart to where it's supposed to be. And it becomes, you know, like a mini workout. I'm such a dork.
It's such a goody two shoes.
I think it's more because my Jeep is new and I don't want it to get hurt.
Yeah, probably more like it. So you mentioned stress. So talk about stress and hormonal levels.
So stress really is the biggest depleter of three nutrients that are highly correlated with testosterone, and that's zinc, magnesium, and vitamin B, specifically vitamin B6. And that stress can be mental, it can be physical, it can be from anything. And we don't necessarily have to feel like we're stressed out. It's just the way that our body reacts. And we don't know how it's reacting necessarily because we're constantly hit with stimulatory things. Even at night when we're, you know, looking at our phone or our device, that blue light is very stimulatory. So that sends a reaction in our body. And we may not realize it because we think we're just relaxing, but scrolling through Facebook and you see something that bothers you, that's a stress response. So that constant input of stress drives our body wild in a way that it never used to. Whereas before we were watching so much TV and actually looking at our device, we may sit on the porch in complete quiet. Now it's tough to sit in quiet anywhere without looking at your phone.
Yeah, it's so true. I think it was actually the founder of Twitter that said, nobody remembers what it was like to be bored anymore. Because,
right?
You know, you used to go and say your flight was delayed at the airport and you'd have to sit and kind of figure out something to do. Now you just scroll through your Facebook, you scroll through your emails. So again, not to mention the terrible postural stresses you're putting on your body there. How do we know, because you said that sometimes we don't really know it, we don't feel it, that we're stressed. Is mm-hmm. that something that the blood test will actually show us?
It can, yeah. Especially if you find yourself, you know, needing more stimulants like caffeine, or some people take fat burners on top of that as well, just to get through the day. And, if, you know, if your heart rate's elevated or you find yourself snapping, you know, because you're moody or something, those are all reactions to stress. The inability to complete workouts with the zest that you used to, or just feeling like crap overall, you know, that has an effect. And stress is directly related to what somebody's eating, what their hormone levels are, what their lifestyle factors are. So everyone's very quick to want to know, you know, what supplements can I take, or, you know, what medications are available, when it's really the lifestyle factors and it's stress management. And yeah, it's hard to get rid of stress. Nobody's going to get rid of it. We're always going to have it, but it's understanding how to control it. Because now with workouts too, it's like the harder, the better, the more intense, the better. And that's actually not true. We're actually kind of swinging the other way, where it's like, hey, go for a walk, do some steady state cardio. You know, it's actually going to help you.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, because I don't know, it was maybe probably a year ago or something when I saw a post of yours, and it was you talking about the importance of going for a walk. And I had just, I think, maybe finished up an interview or been reading about some of the high intensity interval training. And I was like, whoa, 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 what's Ellie talking about? Walks are bad, right? We don't go on walks anymore. We do 20 seconds hard, we do 60 seconds hard, and then we chill out. So talk about that. Why is the cardio, or let's not even use the word cardio, let's go with the walks, or you know, decreasing stressors. What are some other ways that we can do that?
Well, walking does reduce cortisol, which is a stress hormone, but it's also very restorative. So if you're not into doing something like yoga or massages or baths, or, you know, even sex is actually very restorative. You can go for a walk, 30 to 60 minutes, and it has no effect on your hunger, which if you're doing excessive cardio can have an effect on your hunger. And then that's where that whole cycle of, you know, your energy and cravings can kind of get out of control. So that's a very restorative thing that we can do. And it kind of resets us, because we're supposed to walk every day. That's what we were made to do.
Right.
You know, and like I said, the other ways of, you know, kind of reducing that stress: massage, reading a book, petting animals, making love, sex, whatever you want to call it.
Petting animals.
Yeah.
Sure you take some time to pet animals, folks. I hadn't heard that one yet. I had to just throw an asterisk on that one.
This girl's weird. She's talking about petting animals interactions. Right. I don't get it.
Exactly. All right. So let's backtrack a little bit. So with the testosterone, let's talk about why testosterone is good. What are the things that testosterone does in our body that we need, or that we, you know, are trying to achieve?
Well, it makes men men, right? So it helps preserve your muscle mass. It helps all the functions going, and it's actually indicative of what your overall health is like. So as Dr. Murphy mentioned, having low testosterone is actually one of the largest killers and signs of cardiovascular disease, or potential cardiovascular disease. And the way our environment is right now is very estrogenic. So it depletes you guys of that a lot quicker than it used to. We are all surrounded by pollutants and toxins and things that are working against you. So for example, actually just having body fat, the more body fat you have, the more estrogen you're going to have. And testosterone is converted to estrogen through an enzyme called aromatase. So the more body fat you have, the more aromatase activity that you have. So reducing body fat is a huge way to just up your testosterone.
Hold on 1 second. If you could repeat that. So the more body fat you have, the more aromatase you have, which then the more estrogen you have in your system?
The more aromatase activity, because that's the enzyme that converts testosterone to estrogen.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And think about, you know, the plastics. If you're heating food up in plastic or drinking water out of a plastic bottle, there's something called xenoestrogens, which are estrogen mimickers, and they bind in the body and act like estrogen. And there's good and bad estrogens. So they act like the bad ones. The water that we drink, you know, is not filtered properly. I mentioned how women on birth control will use the bathroom, and those estrogens get excreted through the water system, and they don't necessarily get treated. The hormones in dairy. So a lot of dairy, cows are milked when they're pregnant. So even if it's organic milk, they're still milked when they're pregnant, which is an increase in estrogen. Alcohol, as you guys mentioned, you love your beers.
Of course. We'll get into that in a little detail in a second here. Let's go back through some of these different chemical type things, because, you know, plastics has kind of become a big issue, but I still find that, you know, I was at the gym just not too long ago, and we've really reduced, you know, any plastic containers, you know, putting any hot liquids or foods or things like that in our plastics here in the house. We hardly ever, our microwave is basically just a big clock these days. But, you know, I'll go to the gym and some of the trainers, some of the other people there, you know, they'll put something in just a regular old styrofoam cup or in their little Ziploc container, and they'll throw it in the microwave. And I'm like, whoa, don't you know that that's a bad thing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Come on. You know, like I'm some kind of a Nancy, which I kind of feel like it's saying that, you know, to them. But, so explain why, what happens in that process with the hot foods and the plastics and how that then affects our system.
It's funny you mentioned that, because it used to be like super woo woo, like, oh my God, you're a tree hugger if you actually, you know, mention that stuff. And now it is more mainstream.
We're in the Midwest, so I'm still a little bit tree huggerish to the majority of folk.
It's in the plastic. So, you know, even BPA free, you still don't know what they're replacing that with. So it actually just melts into it. And then, you know, you don't know how much of it is getting in the food. And obviously the only way to determine that is to measure it.
But, right. And that's something that you see on your, again, you see on your tests, because I know that you've mentioned that before, like plastics are real, like this issue with plastics are real. And you've seen that because you've tested it, not just like, oh yeah, I've heard and I've read that it's a bad thing, but you've actually seen effects of it.
I can't confirm that. Yeah. Somebody may have low testosterone because of plastic. It's not correlation causation necessarily, because there's so many other factors, but it's just kind of controlling exactly what you can,
right,
to not be negatively affected.
And as far as the water is concerned, because you mentioned that, you know, there's also toxins in the water. So what's our best option for, you know, is it, do we do bottled water? Do we do filtered water? What are our options there?
I would filter it and then use like a stainless steel water bottle or a glass water bottle. So I use a stainless steel one. I'd probably break a glass one.
Yeah, I've constantly got my large mason jar with me whenever I do a podcast episode, and multiple guests have commented when they see me drinking it on screen how massive this mason jar is. But I, knock on wood, I haven't broken one yet. So let's talk about the beer factor, because we were at the World Golf Fitness Summit with all the fitness professionals in the world of golf, and there may have been a beer or two consumed during that week. But you mentioned that beer especially is indicative of, you know, increasing estrogen levels or decreasing testosterone levels. What is it in beer that causes that?
It's the hops in beer, which has phytoestrogens, which are or plant-based estrogens, which are the same thing that are found in soy protein. And the IPA specifically, and I have to credit Jim Ferris for telling me that, because I'm not a beer person so much, but so that really is kind of the cause of beer belly or beer gut. And some of the beers that have, or the beers that have barley in it, barley is a prolactin, which is the same hormone that increases a woman's breast size during puberty. So it also promotes lactation in motherhood. So that can have a negative effect on testosterone levels as well. So the beer gut and the man boobs can be a factor. And this is obviously not just, you know, one beer here or there, but drinking every week, I would say.
Yeah, I have to say, I obviously knew that beer was not the drink of choice, but also that it did have these properties. And I've actually, Jim and I have consulted over several beers before. We'll have to consult him again and find out what is the best beer to drink, or let's say that the one that is least damaging, we should say. But, you know, the IPAs are such a delicious beer that I hated seeing that slide.
I know. I was like, oh, everyone's going to hate me. I didn't mean to do a scare tactic on beer.
No, it just goes to show you, in moderation, you can have fun. All right. So I'm just kind of looking at my list of questions here from a few of the folks. First, just as far as testosterone is concerned, what are the normal levels that we're looking at and where we should be?
It's a great question because it's according to which lab you use, and everyone is pretty much around the same where they start on the low end around 250 and end up at 1100, which is a massive range. And, you know, I made the point in the presentation how that is kind of cumulatively of America, and America is sick. So right. you don't want to necessarily be, quote, in range, because you can be 260 and 35 years old. That's not normal. And even Dr. Murphy said 250 at 80, he doesn't want you at 250. That is very low. So usually it's when you're below 500 is when you start to look at, all right, what's going on. And we've seen more and more guys in their 20s and 30s who have come in lower levels around 300-400. And this is nanograms per deciliter.
And that's the total number, right? That's total testosterone
correct.
Level?
Total testosterone, yes.
And then
with
go ahead,
free testosterone is what is bioavailable. So when you get tested, you want to get both of them done, because total testosterone only tells part of the story, just like total cholesterol. So you want to know how much is actually usable and how much is actually bound. There's a glycoprotein called sex hormone binding globulin that actually snatches up the free testosterone. And when that is high, you may have a lower free testosterone level.
And what would you say is kind of a optimal level of free testosterone, or a number that you would kind of look for there?
We like to see over 100.
Okay. So I'm thinking back to, and for those of you, we've heard Allie mention Dr. Murphy on here several times. Episode number 112, Dr. Stephen Murphy, who's one of Allie's partners at the Greenwich Diagnostic Sports Lab, along with Michael Manavian, we went through some of my blood tests, and he kind of explained the process. And so definitely go back and listen to that if you haven't heard that. But I want to say, because my testosterone levels were low, and I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say I was just under 500 for total, and I want to say my free testosterone was maybe 85. So, you know, definitely... obviously, this episode is big for me, and your presentation was big for me as far as implementing some more of the things that Dr. Murphy had suggested. Let's talk about just some of the things that you would then have somebody do. Not necessarily, you know, let's say just general things that a person could do, whether that be nutritional, training-wise, some of those things. And I know there's a bit of a hierarchy here that you look at as far as what's going to make the biggest difference. So can you go over that a little?
Yeah. Everybody loves to jump right to supplements, which, you know, is fine and good. And they're always asking me, what supplements can I take? And my first question is, have you gotten measured? Like, what are your levels? Like, you know, taking supplements blindly isn't necessarily going to help you.
Right.
That being said, as I said 2 weeks ago, the three nutrients that are the most depleted with stress are zinc, magnesium, B6. Those are directly related to testosterone levels, especially zinc, which kind of acts as a weak aromatase inhibitor, which, again, is the enzyme that converts testosterone to estrogen. So having a deficiency in those, you could boost testosterone levels. Most people have deficiencies in those. We really haven't seen anyone come into our lab where they've tested sufficient in those. So somebody realized, well, those three nutrients, great, I'm going to create a supplement called ZMA. And you guys heard me talk about that, where it's a great repleting zinc and magnesium and B6. You take it at night, it actually helps you sleep. And that in combination with vitamin D3, which is actually a hormone, most people are deficient in that, especially if you live in the Northeast like we do. So supplementing with that, I can confidently say, all right, you can probably take zinc, ZMA, and vitamin D3 and benefit from it. And those directly can boost testosterone levels a little bit.
And the ZMA, is that a product from one specific company, or are there multiple versions of that now from different companies?
There's multiple versions. Okay. I use True Athlete that I get at the Vitamin Shop, because Vitamin Shop's products, even though, like Murphy said, they get a bad rap, they actually are legit.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I'll link up some of this stuff in the show notes, just as far as I know the vitamin D3 you guys use from the Vitamin Shop. We use Designs for Health here the D3 droplets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're great. Actually, they're up in Connecticut here.
Yeah, we'll link up some of those things just so you guys have access to, you know, the stuff that we're all using. What about just like some lifestyle, typical lifestyle change? Let's go through like a bit of a list of a couple things you can checklist off. You know, if you're a golfer or a non-golfer, hopefully you guys are passing this episode along to other people in your lives. You know, we all have, you know, dads, grandpas, brothers that may need to hear this kind of information. And so let's just go through kind of a checklist of maybe even some hacks. You know, that's the big term these days, biohacks.
Yeah, life hack.
Yeah, life hack. So let's go through just some tried and true, quote unquote, hacks that people can do lifestyle-wise, diet-wise, and then even training-wise.
So sleep is huge, right? And we always talk about getting more sleep, blah, blah, blah. Like it's honestly not very sexy. It's super boring to talk about, but it is so incredibly important. And you can go 3 days with 5 hours sleep and your test levels could drop 30%.
Wow.
Which is huge, right? So we don't want that to happen, and that will affect your workouts the next day. It'll affect what you eat because it'll cause more cravings. So it's kind of a vicious cycle. And I tell my guys, because a lot of my guys are high stress, Wall Street, you know, crazy four devices at a time type of people. And I tell them, try 15 minutes a night. Go to bed 15 minutes early. And then the next week, go to bed 15 more minutes, you know, so it's a half hour. And really, if you have to forego a workout so you can get adequate sleep, that's okay. If you're not waking up refreshed, that's a problem. If you're waking up during the night, that's a problem. So your workouts aren't necessarily going to benefit you if you're not sleeping at night.
Yeah, I have to reiterate. So we had on the show, we've had him on a couple times, Sean Stevenson, who wrote an incredible book called Sleep Smarter. And actually, I think it's the number one health and fitness audiobook right now. So Allie, if you haven't read it, I'd highly recommend checking it out, but it talks about all of this and it gives you kind of a sleep plan. But he talks about how, you know, even the time of bed that you go, or the time you go to bed at night, you know, 9 o'clock range, 10 o'clock range, based on your circadian rhythms and what's going on hormonally, those hours can almost be twice as efficient as far as your sleep quality, as if you were to, let's say you sleep 8 hours, but you go to bed at 9, first going to bed at 11 or 12. So just that little tip of start scaling back by 15 minutes each night to get that higher quality sleep can be a huge, huge factor as far as when you wake up, how you feel, how you crush the rest of the day.
Big time. And I mean, I get made fun of all the time because I go to bed at like 8:30, but I'm usually up at 4:30. And I need that. Otherwise, you really don't want to deal with me the next day.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to do this podcast interview in the evening.
Oh, totally. it would be a completely different podcast. Right. You know, so sleep is, you know, one of the biggest factors. And that's one of the first questions we ask in the lab with somebody if they come across as stressed out in their blood work. And then other lifestyle factors. So nutrition, you know, I went over how cholesterol is really important. And cholesterol is the manufacturer of the steroid or the sex hormones. So you need to eat it, and you need to eat it in healthy fats to produce testosterone. And we've seen cholesterol levels that are super low, and people feel like crap and they're really, really tired. And if you don't eat cholesterol, you're not going to have an erection. That should scare you.
That does scare me.
So that's all I have to say about eating cholesterol.
It's more erections. So as far as the cholesterol, so what, give me a couple foods that you would recommend us putting into our diet.
Monounsaturated fats are awesome for producing testosterone. So macadamia oil, macadamia nuts. Dr. Murphy also mentioned walnuts, which are huge. You can also use walnut oil, walnut butter, obviously the omega-3s as well. I think those were huge for you, right? You had to add chia seed, flax seed. So it's relatively easy to add into the diet. Coconut oil is a great form of saturated fat, but that necessarily won't raise cholesterol. Eating eggs is okay. They actually have great choline, and they've got other nutrients in them, and it does not raise the bad cholesterol, so to speak, but just making sure you're getting in enough fat and not the inflammatory fat.
Awesome.
Is big. But yeah, macadamia nuts are kind of like the nut that gets left out, but they're so good. I don't understand why.
Yeah, they're delicious, especially I went to Hawaii one time and they were all chocolate covered, so they were
really
good. So let's talk about training wise, because you know we mentioned that the two big things that people tend to ask us about are, what do I need to do supplement wise? What do I need to do in my training? And while those are kind of at the higher end of your pyramid, you know, the smaller factors, what are some of the big things that we can do in our training methods that can help increase this?
Lifting heavy, obviously, that's kind of a blanket statement, yes, but it does, you know, a lot of good things for maintaining muscle mass. So what does that actually mean? And my friend Jay Tita, I have to credit him with the acronym of BBPS, which is burning, breathless, pump, and strain. And you want to incorporate workouts that include feeling all of those. And burning would be like higher rep and the burning type of rep where you feel like all of a sudden there's like an acidic environment in your muscles that produces growth hormone as well as testosterone. Breathless releases the catecholamines, which eat up fat, noradrenaline, and adrenaline. The pump, which is getting swole. The pump is also a huge promoter of growth hormone. Drop sets are one technique of doing that, but whenever the muscles get engorged. But the most important for release of testosterone would be the strain, which, not the show, but it comes from those really heavy compound lifts, deadlifts, squats, presses, the grinding heavy reps that you really have to strain through that tend to be slower, yield a huge testosterone release, and they have a significant effect on the nervous system. So they're just so good. And obviously you will do whatever modification you need to based on how somebody moves, but it's just very important to get those type of sets in there, because not everyone does that. They'll go in, they'll do, you know, just a circuit and then they're breathless and pumped, which is fine, but you still need to get that heavy work in.
And so how would you structure, say, just one workout in, for somebody like this? What does that workout, that hour or whatever, look like?
So usually I'll start with a heavy lift, and it'll either be more of a maximal effort or of a dynamic effort, similar to kind of a modified West Side template. Like today I got in an argument with one of my guys because we did 3 reps of bench press, and he's like, I didn't feel a burn. And I'm like, well, you weren't supposed to. Because this was more of the heavy straining reps, and we did 6 sets of 3.
Right.
So, you know, we have 45 minutes to an hour. A lot of my guys like to get in, get out. So, you know, I'll go up to maybe 7 sets, and then we'll get into some more of the supplemental stuff. So usually it has to be more of a total body, because they're in twice a week, 3 days a week. Some guys are 5 days a week. So it's really dependent on the person. And then I'll have them do more of a hinge, get a pull, get something unilateral in there as well. And then the next day I'll have them do some recovery cardio.
Awesome.
So right now in the wintertime, I'm not having guys do any metabolic work on the days that I see them, because they're in the gym more themselves anyway. Mm-hmm. And I don't want it to be overkill, because they love to be annihilated. They love to go hard, and I have to slow them down.
Right.
So if I can slow them down twice a week, then I've done my job. And I tell them, you know, you're going to get your heavy stuff in with me, and then you can do your metabolic circuits and then go for your run, go for, you know, bike ride if you want. And that's it. Whereas in the summertime, they're walking the golf course, you know, hopefully, and they're doing some other stuff outside that will get them moving more. But now I tell them, you know, you have to do your recovery stuff on the other days.
Cool. Yeah, that's a great way to kind of structure it and give us a little glimpse into what that looks like.
And they have a lot of fun too, where they, you know, they every week they can lift heavier, track their progress. And a lot of it can actually directly correlate to what their lifestyle is. Because I always ask them every single time I see them, how did you sleep? What's work like this week? Have you traveled? What have you eaten?
Let me, before we move on, any other quote unquote hacks that you would recommend. Anything else that, that you said in your presentation that I know I have your slides here, but
at night you can put your iPhone on night shift, which kind of brings the light to a little warmer light. So it's not so piercing and stimulatory. I don't know if that's a huge light pack, but I think it's kind of cool. And sleep machines are good. White noise or, you know, I bring mine with me. I travel with it. Another dork status thing about me, but it really makes a difference. There's also apps you can download too, white noise apps, but that kind of helps from getting woken up by any random noises if you're traveling.
I've got another one for you if you don't have it, since you're a new MacBook owner.
Yes, as of yesterday.
There's an app called Flux, and it automatically, same kind of thing, based on the time of day, will change your screen color and settings.
Oh, cool.
Flux. I'll make sure.
I'm going to download that.
I'll put that in the show notes as well. I had a question. So I've got a client, and he knows he has low testosterone levels. He's been tested, and we were just chatting the other day, and he said that his doctor was doing another test because he mentioned that there's kind of two things that could have been going on. And he, I love how he broke this down. He said, I don't really understand all these, the medical terms, but it was kind of like he said, there's something up in my brain with the pituitary gland. And as a business owner, he's like, so I'm looking at that as like the board of directors, and either they're not talking to each other or that's working, but down low, the factory workers aren't taking care of business as far as producing my testosterone. So what is it up in the brain with the pituitary gland? Is that a certain test that he would be having done?
So that has to do with, we call it the HPTA axis, or the hypothalamic pituitary testicular axis. And that really has to do with the hypothalamus, which is kind of like, yes, as he described, like the master board. And that kind of wires the body, and the hormones that are produced by the pituitary stimulate the testicles to produce testosterone. So it could be a quote unquote wiring issue. Mm-hmm. And that would be what, you know, his doctor would be, the person to figure that out.
Yeah. And so he said he just got the test back that the wiring or the board is working fine. Mm-hmm. So then it's the factory that has the issue. So then,
correct.
Do you know what steps then would possibly be taken?
That probably means that his LH and FSH, luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone, were actually in a good range, or if not high, which means that they're asking the testicles to please produce testosterone. And for some reason, the total and free testosterone was not in a range that he would like.
Gotcha.
So without more data, it's tough for me to make more of a guess, but that would be my guess as to what happened.
Yeah.
So also, you know, his thyroid numbers have a big part in that, because thyroid hormone regulates metabolism. And thyroid's related to testosterone as well.
Gotcha. So then is there more testing that they would most likely be doing? You mentioned the thyroid testing.
A full thyroid panel definitely would be helpful. You know, the term adrenal fatigue also comes from this kind of grouping of tests, because the adrenals don't actually get tired. It's more the hypothalamic pituitary axis has something going on there, which the adrenal fatigue is a symptom of whatever else is going on, which usually has to do with being overtrained and fatigued and his lifestyle and everything.
Gotcha. Yeah, I definitely know that there's, you know, just as a business owner, like a lot of the guys that you see, very high stress, low sleep, you know, kids at home, all kinds of things that play into that, diet related issues. We'll definitely hoping to get some more answers from his physician and get some more steps taken care of.
Because if he doesn't get the lifestyle stuff fixed, then throwing testosterone onto that type of problem is not going to fix it.
You know, that's a great point, because he had been taking testosterone, you know, had been prescribed testosterone and for, I don't even know how long he took it. But obviously hasn't changed the fact that he's still low. So it's not like it fixed the problem. It was more just kind of dumping testosterone onto it. So it was in his system, but it never really got to the root cause. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, no, fixing low T with exogenous T does not help. It could also be the delivery as well. Was he taking injections or creams?
I think he was doing injections, actually.
Okay. Yeah, which is the best.
Yeah, so just goes to show you that for most of us, and we're all like this, we all want that instant gratification, that sometimes you just gotta back up and say, okay, because that was the first thing that he asked me, like, what should I be taking? What supplements? None of these doctors will give me supplements. I'm like, no, they're telling you to eat better. They're telling you to sleep better. He's like, yeah, I get that, but what can I take? I'm like, well, you've already taken about as good of what you can take, and now we need to look at the other extraneous factors. So, glad you mentioned that. Anything else you can think of testosterone related? I know that Don Parsons is probably going to be a little disappointed that we didn't have more penis jokes.
Several
of the others. Maybe I'll have to put up some of the slides in there. As far as any other, you know, really important things that you think we need to mention here before I ask you a couple other little questions?
You know, a big thing, a lot of guys will ask me, I got a lot of messages after the summit of, you know, what should I have tested? And I give a list and I said, your doctor's going to say these tests are a little excessive. And this also means I have to do something about it, which every person came back and said, oh my God, my doctor said that. But you know, you should ask to get your total and free testosterone tested. And if your doctor is hesitant or doesn't want to, then you do need to find another doctor, because that is such a huge indicator of your health as a man that you really have the right to understand what your levels are. And if you haven't gotten any testing done, you need to, even in your 20s, it's good to set baselines. Because then you can measure every, you know, I like to say quarterly, but you can measure and see where your level's at every year. And then also, when you get tested, understand what's going on in your life. Are you going through stressful time? Did you just have a baby? Because if you had a baby, your test levels will drop for a couple of years. Are your workouts overly taxing? Have you made any changes in your diet? Those are things to be aware of, because it is a picture in time of what's going on internally, and then you can compare it to what you get done, you know, a few months later as well.
Excellent. Yeah, and I know that, you know, this obviously is a golf and fitness podcast, but, and we haven't mentioned golf hardly at all, but all of this stuff relates to what then happens out on the course. I want to make sure that you all are understanding that what we're doing here is trying to bring in experts like Allie. So you're putting these pieces together outside of just your training and your practice and all those things, because again, if you don't have your sleep right, you don't have your nutrition right, your testosterone levels are low, you know, you're feeling like crap all the time, that obviously is going to play out in your golf game. And I know that now that seems kind of obvious to make that connection, but I wanted to make sure that we said that, because, you know, Allie and I both work on a daily basis with golfers, business owners, you know, people of all walks of life, and it affects every single thing that we do. And myself personally, I mean, we noticed it in my test that I had low testosterone issues, and, you know, doing the podcast, running a business, having three kids, you know, working late at night, not getting to bed on time, all of that stuff affects it. And I can definitely tell the days that, you know, I'm dragging a little bit, and, you know, when I don't get my rest and my proper nutrition. So again, I personally, Allie, we're all just like you, except that Allie's a girl. but, you know, we struggle with these things too, but we want to make sure that you understand how important some of this is. And we've got it set up where you guys can actually get some of these tests taken care of by going and reaching out to Allie and Dr. Murphy and Michael. And you can do that through going to our show notes. We'll have a link there again to contact them to, you know, make that initial consult and start talking about, you know, what you may want to get tested and what you should be getting tested. Because again, it's not just a blanket statement of, oh, you know, come on and we're going to test everything. These guys will actually talk to you about, you know, what are, first of all, just some of the things going on in your life, but then also, you know, what should we test and how can we test it? So again, I have to say that the process of that was super, super easy. You'll get in touch with Michael, right, Allie? Get in touch with Michael. Michael will literally, you know, contact you back as far as asking a few questions, maybe having you submit a food log, which is something I had to do. And then it's a very simple, I scheduled a blood test. The lady came to my house, took my blood. She sent the packet off. It was super, super simple. And then I was on the phone with Dr. Murphy within a week. So,
Yeah. Just to expand upon that, you know, if you don't feel good, you're not going to play that well. So it really has to do with your health and longevity, you know, and a lot of men, especially after New Orleans, you know, messaged me and said to me, thank you for talking about this because it's not talked about enough, where, you know, I made the point in the beginning of my talk how when women go on hormone replacement, it's so accepted and it's like, oh, they have menopause. But men also go through what's called andropause, which is the decline in testosterone. And, you know, they're almost shy about asking testosterone because they feel it's cheating or it's going on steroids. And it really isn't, because it's not a super physiological thing. It's just understanding their own hormonal balance, very similar to what females go through. So, you know, my clientele being all men, it's something I'm used to talking with them about. Just like I encourage my trainers to talk to their female clients about the menstrual cycle, I talk to my guys about what goes on with them hormonally, because it is such a huge part of, you know, the whole process and the whole triangle, and, you know, being able to live a high performance life.
Yeah, I think it is kind of one of those topics that, you know, unless you're really comfortable with the person that you're working with, it's not something you're going to bring up, especially as men. You know, I mean, it's almost a little emasculating. It kind of feels, but, you know, I mean, this is your life. This is your quality of life that we're talking about. So, first of all, Allie, thanks for all the information. Again, yeah, putting this out there and us being able to do this episode for all the guys in the golf world. Hopefully this is shared with, like I mentioned before, much more than the people in the world of golf, but any friends, family members that you think might benefit from this. Maybe this just kind of sparks them to look into their health a little bit more and maybe get tested. All right, I got to ask you a couple questions. I know that, so if you haven't listened to Allie's first episode on the 18 Strong podcast, I believe episode number 8. So she was one of our pioneer guests. So I'm sure I asked you the Happy Gilmore and Caddyshack question, but for the audience, I want you to tell them Happy Gilmore or Caddyshack again.
I don't remember my first response, but now it's Caddyshack, because that was playing on Tuesday morning when I was going through my talk on the TV in my hotel room. So Caddyshack.
Perfect. All right. If you had the chance to play 18 holes with anyone in the world, past, present, future, who would it be and where?
I love Aviara, the golf club Aviara out in California. And I would probably play with my mom, because she's cool. She has no idea how to play golf, but she'd ride in the cart with me.
Awesome. I love that. All right. And then moving forward, what is the mission, not just for Greenwich Diagnostic Sports Lab, but for Allie G from Golfers Who Lift and you moving forward kind of as the expert in this world of hormones and golfers and such?
Yeah. So it's funny, right? Since I last, you know, spoke, you know, obviously my niche has shifted into all male clientele and specializing in hormones, which has become my passion. And, you know, I really want to just be able to deliver the message that it's okay for guys to understand this stuff as well, and that it is a mainstream issue and it's not something to be ashamed of or afraid of asking. And that's what I've been doing a lot of talks on, and that's what I'll be doing even more talks on and relating it to golf fitness. Actually head to China on Tuesday, which I'm excited about. So got some more opportunities for, you know, 2017 to talk about this. But, you know, hopefully making it an open conversation with everybody. So that's really it.
I love it. Well, I have to say it was awesome hanging out with you in New Orleans a few weeks ago at the World Golf Fitness Summit. We got to chat and have a couple drinks and have a good time. And it was fantastic to see you up on the stage. You've been a rock star in this golf fitness world for a while, but, you know, to go from 2014, where we were all, you know, at the World Golf Fitness Summit, to seeing some of my friends and acquaintances now up on the big stages is just so cool. And no one more fitting than you to be up there spreading this word and spreading the image of Allie Gilbert up there. So congratulations for, you know, just continuing to grow and bringing all of us up to another level in the game.
Aw, thank you. I had a blast.
You got it. Well, hopefully we'll be seeing a lot more of you on the platform of 18 Strong as well in the future, as we have a lot of cool things coming up there. We've got our hormone lady for sure to talk about all things male hormones.
It's my reputation now. I don't mind it.
Awesome. All right, Kate. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and you know, we'll be in touch very soon in the future.
Great. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, guys, thank you for joining us this week on the 18 Strong Podcast with our special guest, Allie Gilbert. If you have any questions about, you know, testosterone or hormones or anything that we talked about today, or you want to get in touch with Allie, just go to, well, first you can look her up on social media, of course, which we'll have all of her social media on the show notes page, but you can also find her at the Greenwich DX Sports Lab. We'll have all those links in the show notes for you to get in touch with them. If you would be interested in any kind of testing, by all means, just contact them. You'll most likely get in touch with Michael and just mention that you heard about it on the 18 Strong Podcast, and they will definitely take care of you there. Again, you can find all this information by going to episode number 115 over at 18strong.com, or just search Allie. You'll find both of her episodes. So if you didn't listen to the first one, go back and listen to that one too, and then you can catch up and find all of her information. So thanks again for joining me. Train hard, practice smart, and play better golf.
Thanks for listening to the 18 Strong Podcast at www.18strong.com. And remember, train hard, practice smart, and play better golf.